the Old Testament reading and the text from which this message comes this morning is from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. The Bible says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For his command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the ways to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As most of you know by now, I immigrated to the United States when I was 7 years old. Once I learned your language, I found that one of my favorite places to go was the library, the Turlock Public Library in Central California. One of my smart-alecky friends, knowing the smallness of Turlock, was really surprised that we even had a library, and then asked if we all took turns reading the book. I didn't appreciate his comment. I read lots of books as a boy, loved to read, still do. And then in those days, as a young boy, you know, there were favorite authors. I read practically every book that Walter Farley wrote, the most famous one being The Black Stallion. As a boy, I loved that. I read Mark Twain and learned about Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. I read Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe. I read Treasure Island. And all these books took me on adventures into my grand, expanding imagination and inspired me about life and what lay ahead. But looking back, as inspirational and entertaining as those books were, as great as those stories were, they don't compare with the Word of God in terms of their impact on a life. Yes, they inspired. Yes, they stretched the imagination. But God's word absolutely changes lives eternally. Something other books cannot do. We can be temporarily entertained by other pieces of literature or even films, but permanently to have our souls reshaped, there is no book, no teaching that compares with the Word of God. And that's what we learn as we study Scripture. Solomon, in this proverb, is asking a son to respect and receive the wisdom of God his parents are passing on. And not only receive the teaching, but using his words to bind that teaching to his heart and fasten them around his neck as an adornment of righteousness. He wants this young man to be permanently imprinted by the truth of God that is being passed on to him by his parents. Why? Because God's truth, God's teachings are life-changing, life-shaping, life-enlarging, eternally changing the soul of our living. According to this passage, God's teachings are to be our guide. The Bible says, when you walk, they will guide you, speaking of the teachings of God. What does that mean? It means that in days of confusion, that we can find clarity by the wisdom of God's word. And in times of darkness, God's word gives us light and understanding. In Scripture, we hear a strong voice, if we're listening well, that says, this is the way. Walk this way. Walk with these values. In this church, God's word should be at the center of every sermon that is preached, every study that is done. It is our unique offering to each other and to the world that no other organization will do. We're to have at the center of our life this kind of guidance. We get guidance from a variety of sources. It just isn't as quite as powerful as God's guidance, but helpful sometimes. I was reading a while ago about a 92-year-old woman who was reflecting on her life and wanted to pass on some things that she learned over her lifetime. Here are the things that she wrote down in a book that I had a chance to read. Some of the things. She writes, at age 6, I learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. At age 12, I learned that just when I got my room the way I liked it, my mom made me clean it up. At age 29, she writes, I learned that wherever I went, the world's worst drivers had followed me there. At age 52, I learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and a string of Christmas lights. At age 58, I learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. At age 64, I learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. At age 82, I learned that even when I have pain, I do not have to be one. And at age 92, she writes, I learned that I still have a lot to learn. And we do, don't we, all the way through our lifetime. And the best source, beyond the wisdom of this 92-year-old woman, is God's word, God's truth, God's wisdom. God's teaching should be our guide. Here in the Proverbs, we learn that God's teaching should also be our guard, if you will. The Bible says here, when you sleep, they will watch over you. The Bible is saying that if we live under God's law, we will have a kind of a spiritual guard over our lives. With the power of His word, God will protect our soul and our mind and our heart. That protection is offered to us. The word guard used in the scriptures is a military word. It reminds me also, as I was reading this, of an experience I had a number of years ago. I had my first opportunity to go over to Europe and the Scandinavian countries in 1990. I remember arriving in Sweden, one of the first stops, and as I was in Stockholm, I saw a number of military personnel. There were army people all over the city. You know, here in the U.S., if we see army troops in a city, the first thought that comes to mind is, there's trouble here. They had to roll out the troops to stop the trouble. And so I asked this man who was our guide on our trip, I said, what kind of trouble are we having here in Stockholm that you had to mobilize all those troops? And he said, oh no, there is no trouble. These people are keeping trouble away. They are guarding the safety of the population of Stockholm by being here. They're not responding to trouble. They are securing safety. So for them, when they saw the troops, they felt like everything is all right. There's a guard here against trouble. Well, that's the way that the scriptures use the word, that God's truth is a guard against spiritual trouble. It's a strong protection against evil that might be attacking our souls and our lives. The Word of God guards our spiritual safety, watches over our spiritual well-being. Well, another thing that comes out of the scripture for me is that God's teachings, interestingly enough, are to speak to us. When you are awake, they will speak to you. The phrasing is almost as if the truth of God, the truth of the scriptures, is like a companion to us, a friend with whom we converse, that there's someone whose voice comes to us and stirs our thinking and calls for some kind of response. This is a friendship phrase. God's teaching is a friend who one can have in a communicating relationship, in a conversation. The Bible is more than just random thoughts of goodness. The Bible is a revelation of God's heart and His character and His love. It is an opening up of the thing that God wants to see, wants us to see about Himself, and wants us to hear as He speaks to us through the scripture. It's like our closest friend speaking to us the things that He wants us to know, speaking to us heart to heart. 2 years ago, I read to you an excerpt from a book that was written by a friend of mine. By the way, when I say these things, I expect you to remember exactly that 2 years ago I read to you this passage. Tim Hansel wrote this creative little piece in one of his books that I want to read once again, so that 2 years from now, if I come back to it, you'll say, oh, yeah, 2 years ago you said that. He described a communication with God by describing a bike ride. And I read this creative picture of how God speaks to us once again to you. Hansel writes, "At first I saw God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong, so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there sort of like a president. But later on, when I met Christ, it seemed as though life were rather like a bike ride. But it was a tandem bike. And I noticed that Christ was in the back helping me pedal. I don't know just when it was that he suggested we change places. But life has not been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, he knew delightful long cuts, up mountains and through rocky places at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though it looked like madness, he said, pedal. I worried and was anxious and asked, where are you taking me? He laughed and didn't answer. I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure. And when I'd say I'm scared, he'd lean back and touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. They gave me gifts to take on my journey, my Lord's and mine. And we were off again. He said, give the gifts away. They're extra baggage, too much weight. So I did, to the people we met. And I found that in giving I received, and still our burden was light. I did not trust him at first in control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it. But he knows bike secrets. Knows how to make it bend to take sharp corners. Knows how to jump to clear high rocks. Knows how to fly to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful constant companion, Jesus Christ. And when I'm sure I just can't do any more, he just smiles and says, pedal. That's the friendship we have with God. That's how close he wants to be to us. It's also why he wants to sit in the front, so he guides the journey. But whenever we're anxious, that's also why he reaches back and touches us. And not knowing what to do, he just simply says, pedal. Keep following me. That's how he speaks to us. He speaks to us through the scriptures. He shows us a new way to live and to walk through his word. His word lights up our path and our life, so we can see more clearly how to negotiate the challenges of living. This is our Lord. He reveals his heart and truth to us through this book. He guides us through his truth. He guards our hearts through his teaching. And he speaks to us like a holy friend each step of the way. It's true. The Bible said it. Amen.